tamastuma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shiva sadi gaura bhakta vrinda. Hare krishna 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 hare hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So we're discussing the now chapter 10, Sadhana and the Jiva, pure bhakti. So then you have the six qualities of sadhana bhakti. First characteristic is destruction of miseries, constituent of ignorance, the seed of sin, desire for sinful action and sinful action and reaction, and ignorance, desire to do pious activities and the reactions of pious activities. Right. So notice that it's getting rid of both. This is important, because otherwise we have a tendency to think that piety is good on its own. But piety is only useful if it's connected to Krishna. Real piety means it's connected to Krishna. If it's not connected to Krishna, how is it pious? Because it keeps you in the material world. So staying in the material world is considered not the ideal situation for the living entity. So it can't actually be considered pious, even though it's very nice. Right? You know, it gives very nice results. People are very pleased with it. But it's still not Krishna conscious. Right? So therefore, the devotional service, it gets rid of the miseries that come from both of these. Because they both give miseries. Because it's the material world. That doesn't mean that devotee's not pious, but he's the ultimate piety, because whatever is done in connection with Krishna, that's considered the best. Right? In other words, you do proper activities connected to Krishna. It's not that you say, oh, then you can do any activity you want and say it's for Krishna. No. Is you have to do proper activities and actually have the attitude that it is for Krishna. Right? Then it works very nicely. The second characteristic is the bestower of all good qualities and pure happiness of the jiva, as well as manifesting the affection from all living entities and to all living entities. So here is, you'll have those good qualities necessary, that is then the proper engagement in the Lord's service. Right? Means you're acting according to the practical, transcendental proper activities. So that means the mundane, both pious and impious, are removed. So the character qualities needed to do that come also with bhakti. Right? They come automatically. And when it becomes happy, right, because of this purity, because of this devotional action, because Krishna is happy, and you find that all other living entities are happy with you. Right? And you're happy with them. Right? You're not that you're happy with them because they're happy with you. You're happy with them, and because of that, they're naturally happy with you. Right? Third is consider liberation as very insignificant. Fourth is its rare attainment, even after performing all the activities of bhakti for a long time. The person does not have deep attachment to the goal, he cannot attain prema. Fifth quality is intense bliss. Sixth quality is the ability to attract even Krishna. The last two manifest in the stage of perfection. Right? So the quality of bliss and attraction of Krishna, this happens then when one comes to the transcendental platform. But you only get to that transcendental platform if you have deep attachment. Right? That deep attachment is not that the deep attachment gets you to the point of liberation or perfection. The deep attachment continues through to prema. Because if once coming to the transcendental platform, if you don't maintain that deep attachment, then again you will just sit in that spot. You won't come to prema. Right? So that's why generally it's not a problem, because once one's developed that, then it naturally just continues through. But still, one has to be aware and be careful. So that's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The first four qualities are also seen in the perfect stage of bhakti. So it's not that the first four aren't there. It's just that what he's mentioning is a natural progression. that you would go through these six. But the first four are also there in the perfect stage of bhakti. Right? It's not that they're preliminary. That's what's so perfect about bhakti, is everything at every stage is there. It's just a matter of what's the prominence. Does that make sense? So faith is there at the point of prema, just that faith is very mature. Right? The association of the devotees is also there. It's very mature. Right? Yes.
To this point, I want to ask if Rupa Goswami, he explains very clearly that the process of sarana bhakti takes you to the state of perfection, and then one attains actually, one can even attract Krishna, then how can one argue that sarana bhakti is lower or...
Because they don't know the definition of sadhana bhakti, because raga muga bhakti is also sadhana bhakti. It's sadhana. Bhava is sadhana. Prema, that's another consideration. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's just people's understanding and their definitions aren't very broad. You know, it's very simplistic. So they're not able to accommodate the human element to it. It's just right and wrong, black and white. So they just see sadhana is rules, so rules aren't as good as the bhava. But the point is that's true, but the point is where did that bhava come from, right? You don't go down and buy it at your organic supermarket or something. You know, it's like it has to develop because of proper engagement in the rules and regulations. You always have to remember who made the rules and regulations. Like that. Does that make sense? So if Krishna's made these rules and regulations, then only it'll work. Right? But otherwise, how will you develop love for Krishna by following a system that he isn't into? You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's the whole point, is that you can't manufacture your own system to please Krishna. You have to use Krishna's system. And Krishna's system is sadhana bhakti. We have to remember who wrote this sadhana bhakti, Sanatana Goswami, right? And Rupa Goswami. It was explained to them by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, in the mood of Radharani. So we can't take it that we should not therefore make the mistake that he doesn't know what he's talking about or something. Right? So who are we to say that sadhana bhakti is a problem with it? Because the point is Vaidhi sadhana, Raganuga sadhana, and Bhav sadhana, they're all sadhana. Sadhana is a generic term meaning your practice, because it is practice until you get the prema. Once you get the prema, then it's not practice. Right? It's just the natural affection manifest in its full form. But before that, it is sadhana. That's just the way it is. Right? Another term which may be more pleasant to such personalities is instead of sadhana, you can use the word bhajan. Right? Because bhajan means what regulated forms of devotional service are you practicing and are you getting nice results from them? Right? Because if you say, what's your sadhana? Oh, we don't worry about that. We're worried about affection. Okay, what's your bhajan? Oh, every day at this time I say these prayers, and then I read, this book on this, and then I do, Vrindavan Parikram at this time and Govardhan at that time. I chant these many rounds. I chant this in the morning, this in the evening. I go around to all the Goswami temples. Do you notice anything here? It's a sadhana. But they don't like the word sadhana, so you say bhajan and then they're happy. Like that. And then, of course, if you're dealing with the kids, then you use the word bhojan. Right? So how's your bhojan going? Yes, very good. Today we ate this, we ate that. Oh, not so good, like that. So you have to know and use the right terminology if you get people who have issues like this. Does that make sense? You had a question? No. 10 to 5, right? Okay. The The first four qualities are also seen in the perfect stage of bhakti. The first part of the perfect stage is called bhava bhakti. At this stage, the first four qualities appear in full. The final stage of perfect bhakti is prema. In the stage of practice, is prema. Okay. So in other words, there's two parts of this perfect stage. Right? So this fifth and sixth are coming to there. So this, yeah. So the first one is this bhava, and the second one is prema. But in the when one is at the fifth point, then the first four are manifest in full, because one has that deep attachment, one is not interested in liberation, one has all the good qualities, and one is affectionate towards all living entities, and that is reciprocated. And there are no miseries due to, you know, any kind of material activity, pious or impious. Right? So the full manifestation is there. Before that, then, depending upon one's practice, then, you know, whether, depending upon one's practice, whether it's sadhana or bhajan, then, you know, it will be manifest. You know, the more attentive, the more regulated, the more focused, then it will be better. The less, then generally less. In the stage of practice, there is sadhana bhakti. In the stage of perfection, sadhya, there is bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. Right? So we understand, very important to catch this word. Perfection means that it's on the transcendental platform. So generally when we just, so both bhava and prema are perfection. So it can refer to both. But many times you have to watch that there is the distinction between these two. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, sometimes we mistake something that we call on the level of prema, and it's not. Right? Does that make sense? You know, like you say, you know, spiritual master must be, you know, how you say, nityasiddha, he must be a liberated soul, he must be a pure devotee. We've just said three platforms there. Nityasiddha is one platform. That's in prema. Right? He must be liberated. That's bhava. Right? He must be a pure devotee. That's the Madhyamadikara. Right? All three levels are pure devotees. Right? Only two of those levels are liberated. But only one of them is, you know, on the platform of prema. So many times we use these terminologies and mix them and don't actually understand the meaning. So that's why the definitions are made that are very clear. Yes? Question? You're 35 minutes early.
So how in the sadhya
it's an aspect of sadhya, meaning that it's something you're getting to, because bhava is the first stage of prema. Prema has six stages, so bhava is the first stage. But it's not considered, means it's serious in considering that your practice of devotional service has brought you to that point, so you're an uttamadhikari. But it's not considered so serious as prema. Right? Because then in prema, one doesn't come down to any other level. But from bhava, one can still drop down to the lower levels. In other words, at prema, you're properly situated in your natural service to Krishna. Right? In bhava, you're still practicing it. You're still practicing to become expert at it.
If you're practicing it at the level of bhava, it's mentioned as sadhya, why not prema?
Because it's like here. You're sitting on the side of the road in the gutter. Right? And enjoying life in this way. Then you have devotional service. Okay? So how far away from that is being liberated from all material needs and desire? So it's a perfection. Right? But why does perfection only have to be one? Why is it in the mundane I can have unlimited levels, but in perfection I can only have one? Does that make sense? You know, means you have the man, you know, right? His child loves him. His wife loves him. His dog loves him. Even his hamster loves him. But is there any difference in this affection? Or is it all exactly the same? Right? So there's difference. So why on the transcendental platform can't there be difference? So even if someone is on the platform of prema, there are those who are beyond prema. You know, Anubhav, you know, Man, Mahabhav, all these different levels, there's also a difference there. There's 10 levels of prema. We just basically talk about bhava and then prema, and then the other 9 are considered, understood in connection with prema. Why? Because it's esoteric basically discussing them for us. The concepts of them we can discuss, but as something to obtain to, you can only get to them if you get to prema. So until you've gotten to prema, you can't get to those. Right? To get to that, you have to get to bhava. Right? And bhava means then you have to properly practice your sadhana to get there, right? With that deep attachment to Krishna. Then, because this human body cannot handle beyond prema, therefore we don't deal with the practical application of it. We only talk about it so it's understood what the levels are, so that one understands there's more to go. Does that make sense?
With knowing that there's more to
What's the difference between a 4-point average in your grades and a 3-point or a 2-point? Does that make any sense? Means, you see, intelligence means the ability to distinguish between things, right? So devotional service is a nice balance between that kind of intelligence and, you know, faith, which means it manifests through, you know, proper, you know, feelings and emotions and all that, right? The whole culture. But the culture, if it's not based on intelligence, doesn't have any meaning. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was pointing out in previous chapters. Is that sentiment that's not based on the Upanishads doesn't have any meaning for us. Does that make sense? Therefore, it's being established here. Once it's established, then they may deal with things that are more detailed and defined than the Upanishads. But the establishment of it is based on that platform. So it is based on intelligence. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. Why doesn't it make sense? I see. Okay. Do you understand anything of the answer, like the ability to distinguish between things? Okay. So one should be trying to use one's intelligence to distinguish. Because if you can't distinguish, then you'll always be disturbed by emotions that don't go the direction you think they should. Because you'll perform one action that gets one result, but you think that one action actually gets the results of 10 different actions. And so only when it's applied at the right time, place, and circumstance to the correct, you know, it is the correct action for in that situation for the result you want, then you'll be happy, right? But the other 9 situations where it actually isn't what should be applied, you'll be dissatisfied. And you'll think it's everybody else's fault. Right? So the idea is you have to be able to cultivate the intelligence to be able to distinguish. Does that make sense? Because the problem is you're not distinguishing between transcendence and what's not transcendence. And even within transcendence, you're not distinguishing between these two. You know what I'm saying? So if the word sadhana comes up, then it's practice. You know what I'm saying? How do you become expert at something unless you practice it? In the spiritual world, the gopis are all either knowledgeable in an art, expert at an art, or master at an art. How does that happen? Right? Unless there's some kind of application. So there's still distinction. Right? Does that make sense? You want to rephrase your question if there's something that's missed? No. Okay, so means, is it as you originally pronounced it, is it been answered? If not, then say it again.
The Bhava is the still the element of sadhana, right?
Yes.
Is it correct?
Yes.
Why is it the sadhana?
Because it's transcendence, it's not material. If you're in the material world, what is your goal? No. You're still in the conditioned state. You have a taste for the holy name, but you're still working on the conditioned platform. Right? But as a madhyama, then one is working on the platform of naishkarmya. So one is not desiring the result, but one is very comfortable engaging your conditioned nature in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? It's not your real nature. But in bhava, you are in your spiritual body. You are performing your natural spiritual activities, but you haven't brought them to the perfection of prema yet. You're doing the activity, but your mood hasn't come to the level of prema. But you're in the spiritual world, in your spiritual body, performing spiritual activities, but you still have to take your consciousness to the platform of prema. Does that make sense? No. Means pure devotional service starts on the level of nishtha, which is below ruchi. But liberation or Brahma-bhuta starts from bhava. You understand?
And how between being liberated and the level of the sakya one can attain knowledge about this eternal form?
See, ruchi doesn't mean you have a taste about your eternal form. Ruchi means you have a taste for devotional service. That you have attachment to Krishna, it doesn't mean it's in a specific form. It's not through a specific, it doesn't have to be through a specific rasa. The point is attachment. Rasa, the particular rasa, that's a detail of attachment. Just like stai bhava, right? That's the principle. The detail is whether it's what of the five rasas it is. That's a detail. And of, you know, does that make sense? Like that. So you have to be able to see the difference between what is the main principle and what are secondary considerations. Because unless you have attachment, only then it can be made specific. Right? Because attachment can develop, right? But until there's attachment, it doesn't develop. Right? You can have attachment to somebody, so now they become, you know, from just an acquaintance to become a friend. But that can deepen and they can become a very close friend. No? But attachment's the principle that it's working on. So there's still stages within the attachment. Right? In other words, you're still in the material body functioning on the conditioned platform, but you're at the very close point of it. You know? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Just like it's like this. When you step into the shower, just that you stepped into the shower, now you're clean? Or are there stages? Right? You scrub your head, you scrub your arms, you scrub your toes.
So these stages are the gradual manifestation of the perfect stage, and the perfection is attained at the level of
bhava. Bhava. That's where it's called perfection. That's one word we use to it. Because perfection then can include prema. Well, if we say Brahma Bhuta, that is the platform, it's also there. But generally that refers to being liberated from the material condition. Right? Well, if we say here the perfection, then that's more that you're on that and then you're acting within it. It's just a different perspective of the same thing. But you're only freed from your conditioned nature at bhava. Right? But even then, within bhava, you don't have your conditioned nature, you're in your spiritual form, but you have been in the material world. So there is a fragrance of that mentality is still there. Right? Does that make sense? You take a box and you have hing inside. You know hing? If you take that hing out and wash that box, what's the box smell like? Is there any hing in the box? No, nothing at all. Zero. But it still smells like hing. So even you're in your spiritual body, in the spiritual platform, performing your spiritual duties, there's still that fragrance of I'm the controller and enjoyer. Not that you have that on the mundane, but you think I'm a great devotee or I think I'm something special. That has to go away. The gopis at the Rasa dance, and they thought, we're the most fortunate girls in the cosmic creation. Not in this universe, not on this earth, not in India, not in Braj, in the cosmic creation. And they were right. But they were proud of that, so then Krishna left the Rasa dance. Because here it says the sixth quality, the ability to attract even Krishna. Pride doesn't attract him. Not this kind of pride. You know what I'm saying? Pride in tattva doesn't attract him. Right? Pride as a manifestation of rasa, that may be interesting. You know, the cowherd boys say, you know, look at you, well, he defeated you, you know, why do people say you're so special in that, you know, by the power of my arms, you know, I'll defeat you like this. So that kind of, that's fun for Krishna. But he's not thinking that, yes, I'm the best in the universe, no. You know what I'm saying? Krishna doesn't think like that. He thinks like that in Vaikuntha. Right? But in Goloka, he doesn't think like that. Does that make sense? Now is the question answered?
Yes, yeah, but I wondered because Bhakti Gyanmo Harash was given a seminar in Shikshastra, and it was based on the purports of Gautama Thakur. He was mentioning that this Vidya Bhad and Jivan defeats verse which describes society. He mentions that on this level the devotee attains the Vidya or the knowledge about his spiritual form.
He attains the knowledge about it, but it doesn't mean what has that got to do with what we discussed here. He attains the knowledge because from there, then it turns into the next thing. You always have to remember there's a point at which, you know what I'm saying? It's like, here we have this desk and this stone, you know, is it on or is it off? You know, Yes, so that means there'll be qualities of that, but there's qualities of this. You know what I'm saying? So, it's this black and white, you have to not be so, I would say, you should not use that as your method of understanding everything. Because it doesn't work so good like that. Because it's a blend, you know what I'm saying? In other words, you have prema, you know, that's white. You have mundane, that's black. Okay? But now, from shraddha up to prema, in between, that's the gray. You understand? So you have to be able to understand gray. Otherwise, the process won't be well understood. You know what I'm saying? Just because you understand it doesn't mean, what has that got to do with perfection? You know what I'm saying? Just like if you find out now that your father is actually a billionaire, does that make you rich? It does, right now. That you've just found this out. I can look in your pocket and find dollars? No. What about rubles? Can I find? How many rubles can I find in your pocket right now? Okay, then what's the problem? You know, what's sitting out there to take you back to the ashram? Some dust, or, you know, or it's a, you know, how you say, you know, a Bentley, you know, like that. You know what I'm saying? So until you make that contact and start interacting with your father and that, and take up the responsibilities of a son, then you have that money. You know what I'm saying? So just because you have the knowledge, that's good. Then you will act in the proper way that you will get it. So in other words, you have that knowledge, so that's why it turns into bhava. Does that make sense? The point is your knowledge, what, okay, let us go. Your knowledge of, what do you say? Your spiritual identity. Okay? There's a in the introduction to Upadeshamrita, Srila Prabhupada makes a point that he's quoting from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that that process that you're talking about started at Shraddha. Because what is your position? We've been discussing it for a long time now in this work. What is your position? Okay, so now that you had from first day you bumped into devotees. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it develops. So the point of asakti, then it develops into the point where you can actually function on the transcendental platform in that knowledge. Before that, then you are functioning on that, but with the conditioned nature. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the idea is that in other words, the first three aspects of bhava sadhana, they extend down to Shraddha. Like that. But the last two, that is only after you've attained, you know, that third one to perfection in bhava. Then it moves into the fourth and fifth stage. Right? But the first three stages means you've heard about, oh, I'm servant of Krishna. I'm not this body, I'm servant of Krishna. That matures up to the point where you understand what is your relationship with Krishna in his pastimes. The varnada, you understand, you adjust with that. I adjust, okay, if I'm not this body, I'm servant of Krishna. Then you have to adjust with that. It's going to make some adjustments in your lifestyle. Right? So then you're going to make those adjustments when you're comfortable with that. Right? Then that matures into you're comfortable with your sarup. Right? And then smarandas, you're remembering Krishna. So therefore, the new devotee remembers Krishna now and again. You know, as much as they can, whenever it comes up. But it matures, so it's constant, then till it turns into samadhi in the platform of bhava. Does that make sense? So there's that gradual development. But there are milestones. You know, on the way that you can take. So that's why you have Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, because these are milestones where you have faith in Krishna, but your faith increases where you want to be with those who are also interested in Krishna. Right? Then your faith increases where you want to be seriously practicing Krishna consciousness. Then it increases where you become, all your doubts and misgivings are gone, so now you're able to practice steadily. So that's called Nishtha. Then it increases where you actually have a taste for this now. You don't really have a taste for material life anymore. Then from that taste, that develops to attachment. Right? That attachment then brings you to the point of perfection. That makes sense? So these things then you can, there's something observable, that's why they're mentioned. But it's still the same thing is coming all the way through. The Shraddha is getting deeper, the Sadhu Sangha is improving, one's practice is improving. Right? One's taste is improving. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you have all those things, just like you're there, you also have down there between Kanista and Madhyam, you have a gap. So Bhajana Kriya, Narta, Nivriti, Nishta, they're all part of one thing. Right? They're all part of the proper sadhana. It's just a matter of whether there's doubts or not. If there are doubts, then that Bhajana Kriya is Anishta. So there's Anartha Nivriti has to take place. If there are no doubts, then that's Nishta. Then the Anartha Nivriti, you know, to a great degree has happened. Does that make sense? So that's also a major thing between being very very absorbed more in material life than spiritual, and being more absorbed in spiritual life than material. Then you come to the point where you're only absorbed in spiritual, there is no material. So then you have these stages. Does that make sense? So what he's saying is correct, but you have to understand is what we're trying to bring out here. We're not trying to bring out that, okay, you know your Swarup, because you know your Swarup, what are you going to do with it? You know what I'm saying? What would you do with it right now? You know, it's like calling over a 3-year-old girl and saying, okay, that's your husband over there. What are you going to do about him? Practice what? Practice interacting with him? But this cooking is going to be practiced whether she's with that guy or not. Right? But you also have to remember is if the guy is not practicing eating, girls are not inspired to cook. So keep that in mind when you come up with great answers like that. Okay? In other words, she's going to train herself in her duties, whether she knows who the husband is or not, because she can't interact with the husband. The one that may be inspiring, she knows, but it doesn't make any difference in her training. So whether you know or don't know, your training is the same. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is you're not on the platform of Swarup Siddhi. So if you're not on that platform, you can't use it in that way. You know what I'm saying? It's nice, you know, your direction, but you still can't use it. Does that make sense? You know, it's like the car, right? When you're 10 years old, your dad says, this car is going to be yours when you're 18. But is it yours? Can you use it? No. So that's the point. So at Asakti, you may know what your position is, but you can't use it till you get to Baba. But it's a natural thing. It comes, just like the boy, after a few years, becomes 18. Right? So do we see these things? You have your tattva, and then you have that human element. So that tattva is the knowledge, but the human element is your practice of it. Right? You have to be able to distinguish these two. We are people. Just because it says this, it didn't happen. The soul is the servant of God eternally. But did it happen? No, we're still sitting here. We have that knowledge, but where are we? Right? You have knowledge that I am eternal servant of Krishna. That's enough knowledge to get you into the spiritual world. But are you there? No. So that's the same point. Is that knowledge has to be practiced. Does that make sense? Is that okay now? Yeah? Sure? Okay. Something else on this? Yeah. Yes?
Sorry, but it's...
No, it's not 10 to 5 yet. When it's 10 to 5, that's the time when he asks the questions. That's his turn, so...
The question I've been thinking about for a while, I can't get an answer for myself. It's something to do with the descending of the Lord, and when the Lord descends, as Mahaprabhu, for instance, the whole Gaon descends. Is that correct?
Yeah. Why wouldn't it descend?
Yeah. But then, I'm just going to go to the end of the soul. But then Mahaprabhu travels and goes out of the Gaon, like it goes to South India, or and then is the whole surrounding, again, the spiritual world,
When is the spiritual ending within the realm?
But the point is when Mahaprabhu travels, how much of his pastime is he manifesting? You understand?
Can you say it again?
Mahaprabhu, when he's in the dham, he's manifesting the full aspects of the lila in his past. His, you know, all the aspects, name, form, quality, pastimes, his associates, everything is going on there. When he goes out and travels, how much of that is going with him?
Associates. Okay. Everybody who interacts with the Lord are eternal associates, also inside themselves in the
No. Well, those Buddhists didn't seem to be great devotees.
But generally, we can trace back the persons who interact with the Lord as somebody which was in Krishna Lila in Vrindavan has a role.
Some, but that's only major ones that are mentioned. What about all the people he passed on the road? You know, what about Kamsa? You know, what about, you know, Chanura and Mustika? What about...
But they have, no? They are... We see them again in Mahaprabhu's Lila.
But that's because they got some benefit there, then they come up. See, is...
how to see...
Okay, let's just try it like this. Let us say you're at home with really good, close friends, right? How much of your personality is manifest?
Most.
Okay. Let us say you go out to a very dry, boring, formal program, you know, that you're obliged to be at. How much of your personality is manifest?
Much less.
Okay. So therefore, what is that meaning of when you're at the house? Is it the house that makes you, or it's the situation? It means you have those qualities, and then this is there to manifest it. And the other is, it's not someplace you'd want to manifest. You could, but you don't. So in other words, wherever he is, that's Vrindavan, but as he moves, it's not Vrindavan anymore. But Vrindavan remains Vrindavan because he never leaves. So when he goes out traveling, that's another form.
Krishna's past. So if Mahaprabhu was also then similar, right?
Similar kind of moves, thing. Similar, but not necessarily exactly the same, but similar kind of. Point is, it's just a matter of manifesting more or less. Why? What's the difference between, you know, Krishna, you know, in Vrindavan and Krishna in Dwarka?
Right.
It's the same person, but the mood is different. So he's manifesting, because there the devotees relate to him according to rules. Therefore, he reciprocates with them as Dwarka Krishna. But in Vrindavan, they don't base their love on rules. Therefore, he reciprocates with them as Braja Krishna.
Let's say we have Vrindavan and we have Mathura and Dwarka, and both are considered replicas of the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
But then in Mahaprabhu, maybe we have Jagannath Puri, but then other places, it seems really back in down to the material world, no more dham.
No, but it's there, it's just a matter of you can't see it. Lord Chaitanya is here with all of his associates performing his pastimes eternally.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But, you know, we may not see it like that. You know, that was what Sarup Damodar was. So Srivas Thakur were discussing. So, you know, others may see it just as some dust and some sticks and some leaves, but this is, you know, this is all Chintamani. You know. That's why I was at Gorkha Shordas. Babaji Maharaj got a good laugh out of when some young devotee came and said that, you know, he was very happy because he had bought, you know, land in Mayapur and he owned it like that. And he was saying, you couldn't do that. It means one particle of dust is the origin of all the opulence in Vaikuntha. So where do you have the money to buy a whole, you know, acre of land? You know, you can't even purchase one dust, you know, so don't think that you've bought the land, you know. You, in illusion, have bought an illusion off of someone else. It means, in other words, one man's illusion you paid for and taken it home. Like that. But the real dom you haven't purchased. Does that make sense? So it's just a manifestation of of these things. Wherever he goes, that place is spiritualized, but the point is it only expands or that according to what he wants. Ramananda Rai is there, it expands more. He's not there, it expands less. Krishna's in the heart, you know, but he expands very little because we're not interested. Why manifest something that someone's not interested in? You reciprocate with somebody according to what they're looking for. You don't deal differently. As they approach, he reciprocates.
So you could say the Lord is always surrounded by a realm of spiritual world wherever he goes.
Yeah, but that realm may be, you know, as far as the ends of his hairs.
Yeah, in that sense, more or less. But he's never in touch with
material. He's never separated from it, but it's just a matter of manifestation. You know, like Krishna's never separated from Radharani, but you don't, when Lord Chaitanya's there, where do you see Radharani? You know what I'm saying? Paramatma's never separated from his devotees, but we see him just as Paramatma. But he's there with all his devotees and everything. We think Karana Dakshay Vishnu, he's sitting there, you know, snoozing away on this, you know, just this ocean. He doesn't even get Seshnav. But when Arjuna goes and visits him, then what's there? There's a whole palace and everybody's like that. You know, the creation, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu comes into the universe, and before the creation starts, then all the sages that are there with him, you know, this is before creation, then they perform a mental sacrifice in which everything is created. So that means the Lord is always surrounded by his associates. It's just a matter of whether we see them or not. So depending on his mood, then they're manifest or not. He's tasting that mood, he's tasting that in the Dham itself. In other words, he can be at both places at once. Just one, you see him there, and the other, you don't see him. Yeah. Yeah. Is that okay? Okay. Time for your question? No? Okay. I think your question is answered in the next sentence we didn't get to. Pure logic can never hope to capture the essence of bhakti. However, if logic is obedient to favorable inclination to Krishna, then bhakti may be understood. In this chapter, only sadhana bhakti will be discussed. Right? So in other words, he's not going to discuss beyond sadhana bhakti because this is Dasa Mool, where he's introducing Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. In other words, what's here, this is what Bhaktivinoda Kaur calls the introduction. Right? Because beyond bhav sadhana, there's no need. Beyond sadhana bhakti, there's no need. He's not going to discuss prema bhakti. Right? Because that means unless one is qualified, it won't have any mean anything to him. Okay. Is that okay? So here is that pure logic. Okay, here, the definition. The quality of sadhana bhakti is this. When a person tries to attain the goal of pure bhakti, sadhya bhava, through utilization of his senses, kriti adhya, it is called sadhana bhakti. Kriti sadhya, okay, seems to be. The goal is eternally perfect, nitya siddhasya. But the practice by which it becomes manifest in the heart, prakatyam hridi, is called sadhana. Right? The goal is perfect, but how you're going to get it to manifest in your heart is through practice. So in other words, you're trying to attain the pure bhakti, so that process, that's sadhana bhakti. Right? And that pure goal will be manifest through that. Does that make sense? So, basically, it's seamless, but at the same time, is you can make identification. You know, like that. Yeah. So we'll continue with the types of bhakti then on Thursday.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.
belief to Dham and consciousness in India.
Okay, so you want to know if any of it's going with you, is that what you want to know?
I'm just explaining, I'd like to continue coming to class, but I won't be here. So.
Oh, okay. Are you coming back, or you're going down
I
there?
I go to Padyatra for Indian Padyatra, and stay all the way.
I'll see you again later.
Maybe another next year, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Nice to see you. How, it's very inspiring.
There's no difference between karma and karma yoga. There's a difference.
If we relax manpower, and we invite some people from outside, for example, in the shop, maybe she is a key material.
No, because they don't think of it like that. So they're just doing a job. When they know it's devotion, when they're doing it to please Krishna, now they're doing it because you're paying them. Yeah, because that's their service that they're doing for Krishna. They're trying to do it to please Krishna. Yeah, and he's trying to do it to please Krishna.
So our need is to explain the motives of those men.
But those men, you're bringing them in simply because you need help. If they are interested, that it's devotional service, right? But it only becomes devotional service when they're doing it to please Krishna. Because then they'll be doing that extra bit. If they're just only doing exactly what they have to do, you know, come in at this time, leave at that time, and they get paid, and that's it, then it's not devotional service.
Devotion comes to the temple only for purpose to earn money or
it means the person, or you're talking about devotees? The devotee, but the point is he wants to do service. He'd rather do service in the temple and get paid for it than do it outside. So he wants to do that service, but at the same time as he needs to get money. So therefore, if you have opportunity, he'll do that in the temple and you give him something to take care of himself.
Maybe call it the service karma yoga.
The point is every karma yoga means that you're engaging your activities in the Lord's service. The point is the brahmacharya is in the temple. If we never fed him, didn't give him any place to stay, nothing, would he be glad? No, so you give him a place to stay, you give him food. So do we call it karma? So then what's the difference? So you get food, the other devotee doesn't live in the temple, he lives outside. Now if he was a grihastha living in the temple, you wouldn't say that because you're taking care. But if that same money that you're taking care of the temple, if you give it in his hand because he lives outside and so he has to buy the boga and outside, then you call it karma. Why? It's the same principle.
What is the difference between karma and karma yoga?
Okay. Karma is just you perform an action and then you get a reaction for it. Karma yoga means you're performing your activity to please Krishna.
Karma yoga activity in Krishna consciousness. Chapter 1 of karma yoga.
It means the third chapter and the fifth chapter.
Yeah.
The fifth chapter means because in between there was jnana yoga.
Yeah.
The third chapter is karma yoga.
Karma yoga.
Fourth chapter is jnana
yoga. Yoga
in Krishna consciousness. Means now you have knowledge about the activity. So the combination of karma and jnana, that's the fifth chapter.
And there are definitions of devotional service and pure devotional service.
Yes, devotional service means it's being done for Krishna. Pure devotional service means it's only to please Krishna, you're not looking for anything for yourself.
Without any results, without unmotivated.
Yes, but I'm saying you have to, what do you mean by no results? It means, you know, you don't breathe air, you don't eat, you don't, you know what I'm saying? It has to be that in your mind it's not for that.
it's not for me.
It may, in the back, it may unconsciously be so many things you require.
This is classical working outside the temple, coming to the evening to do puja. This is beautiful, she's
so. It depends on his mind. Why he may be standing there because he wants everyone to think he's a big devotee. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's a combination of the external, the form of it, and the attitude. That then you can define. You can't just define by the external attitude. I mean the external form.
How to recognize that you symptoms?
That you have to see. What is the mood? What's important to them? What do they discuss? How do they behave with others? That's the point is that's practice.
What's important when our activity becomes devotional service?
Point is if you're a devotee and take it up, then it's devotional service. It's just a matter of the quality of devotional service.
And say it officially, this is preparation.
Yes, but still there's the quality of it. Right? The boy can say, yes, I love the girl, but actually, how much does he love the girl? So that's another thing. Yeah, so that is the next thing.
I was in the room. Right.